Hi, James Lewis here, and this is the Renew Democracy Initiative audio newsletter. This week in democracy, Tucker Carlson in Budapest dominated headlines last week, and for good reason. But what exactly is Orbán's plan to replace liberal democracy, and where does Tucker fit in? After that, John Durham's investigation into the FBI's probe of the 2016 Trump campaign was once the far right's greatest hope for proving that the deep state was colluding against Trump. Whatever happened to it? Why was it so important in the first place? Here's why you should care. Tucker's interview with Orbán actually revealed a surprisingly coherent plan. Curious? Well, don't worry. We watched hours of Fox News, so you don't have to. Without further ado, here's the plot to destroy liberal democracy. Step 1. Purify the Christian ethnostate. Flying around in a Hungarian military helicopter last week, Carlson peered down longingly at Hungary's southern border with Serbia. There, right in front of him, was a wall. Or, well, more accurately, a chain-link fence. A bit later, the helicopter landed and Tucker watched as two Syrian immigrants were processed. He was shocked. No lawyers, no NGOs, just a door back to the other side of the border. Carlson felt compelled to summarize Hungary's immigration policy. This is a real country, and we have laws. Carlson asked Orbán about his policies, and he was very happy to discuss it. He told him, "This is not a human right to come here. No way. Because it's our land. It's a nation. It's a community." While he might sound like any nationalist, Orbán goes further. He praised Trump's America First policy because to him, it meant that in Hungary, you could have Hungary first. No need to pretend that we're looking out for human rights or refugees. Instead, then create a more pure nation. If you can first turn countries into these regressive ethno-nationalist states, you can start to break down the liberal world order. Step 2. Turn the EU against democracy. Orbán described himself as a victim of the EU to Carlson. He said, "I'm treated like the black sheep of the European Union." Yet Orbán is using the EU to export illiberalism. His government has practiced a two steps forward, one step back strategy. They enact policies that just go a little too far for the EU to accept, then leverage that extreme position in negotiations to ultimately win concessions, ending up with a policy that's more extreme than the EU would otherwise allow. As Europe struggled to manage the Syrian refugee crisis, Orbán riled up ethno-nationalists across all of Europe, branding himself as the defender of order and stability opposite the chaos. While the EU stands strongly against Hungary's style of illiberalism, it doesn't much matter. Hungary's still in the EU, and under Orbán's leadership, it can work to delegitimize democracy in every member state. Step 3. Establish a new world order. It's a big jump from step 2 to step 3, but Orbán's new world order isn't only an idea. It's a system that he thinks is already spreading. Besides Hungary, Orbán said that other Central European countries are also organizing around these principles. Already, Hungary cooperates with those countries to build a real Central European network. The reason Hungary is targeted by the EU, Orbán told Carlson, is that Western liberals can't accept that inside Western civilization, there's a conservative national alternative, which is more successful than the liberal ones. With this alliance of illiberal Central European governments, Orbán, and presumably Carlson, plan to stage a challenge to the established world order. It's an alliance which Orbán hopes that America just might join, uniting America First policies with Hungary First policies. Now, who knows what will come from this? If we're lucky, nothing. Tucker Carlson will return to America as if the meeting never happened, and Orbán would lose election next year in what's shaping up to be his greatest challenge since he took power. Then, we would look at this meeting for what it really amounted to. A couple of confused, embittered men pining for an imagined past that never really existed. Returning to our other story, whatever happened to the Durham Report? Back in April of 2019, Attorney General William Barr appointed John Durham to look into how the FBI investigated whether or not the Trump campaign colluded with Russian officials. It was sort of an anti-Mueller report, whose results promised exoneration for Trump and criminal convictions for those who had wronged him. At least, well, that's what you'd think if you were following the far right-wing media's coverage of the Durham investigation. In a segment entitled, Barr is Searching for Truth and Justice, Sean Hannity described it as an investigation of, quote, the origins of the witch hunt into the Trump campaign. Headlines like these continued for over a year, and any update from Durham fueled renewed speculation that the report would prove that the deep state was after Trump. An op-ed in Newsmax claimed that it would amount to, quote, the greatest political scandal of our era, and lead to, quote, grand jury indictments and trials of some senior officials. When an FBI lawyer pleaded guilty to altering an email that August, President Trump asserted that it was just the beginning. Then the fall came around. Trump lost the election, and these news networks became almost singularly focused on spreading his big lie that the Democrats had stolen the election. After all, what is a probe into 2016 matter when you have the Kraken? So the Durham investigation outlived its usefulness. Yet for a while, it occupied a critical place in the far-right conspiratorial machine. Whether it's an audit of the Arizona elections taking place in a remote Montana cabin, or the promise that Trump will return to power tomorrow, August 13th, the far-right media keeps peddling something it gets far too little recognition for offering its viewers. Hope. Some definitive proof, groundbreaking report, or indisputable testimony proving their wildest theories right is always just over the horizon, but never quite in reach. Despite all the lies, fear-mongering, and vitriol from the likes of Hannity and Breitbart, viewers have to keep believing that they'll finally be proven right. Without that hope, what do they have?